And with that being said, we are live here with you on Facebook.com/WakeUpCallDT, as well as on YouTube.com/WakeUpCallDT, however you're connecting with the show. Thank you so much for being a part of the broadcast. Thank you for your patience as we got set and ready to go here on Wake Up Call with Dan Tortora in our Fantasy Football Power Hour, the extended Fantasy Football Power Hour here on the airwaves of Wake Up Call with Dan Tortora, proudly presented by the Wildcat Sports Pub, 3680 Milton Avenue in Camillus, New York. Make sure you head out there 7 days a week, including for game days, to the Wildcat Sports Pub, where they somehow find a way to bond having a bar, a restaurant. Kids are there, adults are there, parties are going on, people are relaxing, people are watching the game. So many different ways to experience the Wildcat, and they make it all work seamlessly together. And I applaud Danny Tome and the entire team over there for all the work that they do. Head out to the Wildcat today. You can also have takeout and delivery from the Wildcat by calling 315-487-2222. That's 315-487-2222 for the Wildcat. So make sure you give them a call today and get in touch with them. So with that being said, Mr. Mike Sofka, my partner here on that thing that we call fantasy football, let's bring him in, the man of the hour, Mr. Sofka. How are we doing today?
I'm doing great. How are you, Dan?
Doing very well. And Mike, we're in week 14. We're in the full swing of things. To a lot of people, this is fantasy playoff time. So, you know, what's kind of your take as we gear up for, you know, what is now the postseason, every single game, win or go home in a lot of cases for fantasy football owners out there?
Well, there's a couple things to look at. One, there was some good games last week. There was 1-point games. You know, there was some compelling storylines during the games. The Ravens going for two at the end of the game to lose the game. The Patriots and the Bills battling it out last night. And Monday night. But the thing that I'm most focused on right now in fantasy football, well, this is the last bye week, but besides that, you can take a roster that let's say you're already locked in the playoffs. If you manage this roster correctly, just by managing your roster correctly, you may have a difference between a fourth place team and a first place team, just the way you manage your roster. Right at this point here, do you really need three quarterbacks?
Yeah.
You know, I don't even go with two quarterbacks. So you got to look where you're solid and where you need help. A lot of trade deadlines already passed, but there's still some gems out there on the waiver wire. So, you know, how you manage your roster could be the difference between the, you know, trophy, no trophy.
Yeah, you know, and you talk about it, roster management, you know, who you have to go into this final stretch. You know, if you got a bunch of guys on IR and you're like, maybe, you know, check to see when they're going to come back and this and that, but depends on how your IR works. Do you have injured reserve on your roster? Are they just taking up spots on your roster? Is a guy like Michael Carter just taking up space right now? If that's the case, then you may have to look to something else. So I think it's important to just be very, very methodical right now and to really sit here and think to yourself, kind of almost like it's American Idol. Right? Maybe at this point, they're all good singers. They're pretty good, right? They're average. They're above average. But who do you think is going to win the show? Who do you think is going to win the contest? And you have to be really, really smart about how you manage your roster right now, because roster management, as you said, is crucial coming down the stretch, that you have what you need in order to sustain the blows that you could get. Because listen, you got players that can score, and so do people on the other side of you. I've scored in the high hundreds and lost. You know, there's games where you can score, you know, close to 200 points and somehow find a way to lose. So the reality of it all is that you have to get to a place where you feel truly comfortable with your team, and you're going to have to get creative, especially if you're in a deep league. You're going to have to learn how to get creative. And Mike and I have told you all season long different things that you can do to get creative. So we suggest, you know, that you listen today. We suggest that you listened yesterday, and we can help you out as you step forward in this fantasy football postseason. Getting ready, Mike, Pitt and Minnesota, we talk about roster management. Well, in the reality of life, roster management is going to be crucial now for the Pittsburgh Steelers as they get set for life without Ben Roethlisberger. But for now, that's who they have. Kirk Cousins could find himself in a different place in Minnesota next year. So in the battle of two quarterbacks that may not be on these teams next year, what do you have for Thursday Night Football? Pitt at Minnesota.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to this game because it should be interesting to me see how the Vikings respond. I think they got a lame duck coach at this point in the year, but they're still not out of it, believe it or not. So, and the Steelers, I can't believe – I just can't believe we were able to do what they did last week, you know, and the Steelers are still alive. Ben Roethlisberger's a show of himself, though. You know, he's in record-breaking territories for yardage and quarterbacks and stuff like that, but – I don't know. Is this really good for your image? Is this really good for your team? I mean, they have to really turn it on to make it happen, but they can still make it happen at 6-5-1. Roethlisberger this week going to struggle a little bit more, though, I think, than usual. I think he got him ranked at number 20 this. Meanwhile, on the other side of the ball, the guy, it's Mr. Mendoza for me, Kirk Cousins, always that middle-of-the-road guy that you can always depend on, and sometimes you can even pick him up on the waiver wire. So the Kirk Cousins, number 12 on the rankings, and this is where, you know, your money's made in the running back position for both these teams. Najee Harris, number 3. Alexander Mattison, of course, taking over for Dalvin Cook. Not sure how long he's going to be out, but as long as Madison's in there or Dalvin Cook, they're going to have a guy rated in the top 10 every week. Then going over to wide receiver, Justin Jefferson, putting on a heck of a year this year. Cooper Kupp, though, is the only guy I have above him. So Cooper Kupp, you know what he's been doing. Justin Jefferson, number 2 on the rankings here. And then Deontay Johnson's not far behind at number 5. And there's a tremendous drop-off after that. Adam Thielen dinged up with the knee. You got K.J. Osborne at 29. And, you know, that's I'm not real interested in much after that. Tremendous drop-off because of the drop-off in the passing attack for the Steelers. The tight ends, though, the tight end for Steelers has been making a name for himself. The rookie, Pat Freiermuth, number 13 on the rankings here. Tyler Conklin, number 9 on the rankings. And then going over to who's going to win, who's going to lose, this is going to come down to a field goal either way. I'm just going to go ahead and give it to Minnesota, though, being their home. I think Minnesota at home.
Yeah, you know, this game is going to be obviously a continuation of the very interesting season the Pittsburgh Steelers have been having. You know, kind of the woes of the Steelers at this point. And they're not bad. They stay in games. But the thing is, can they win them? And is this a playoff team? You know, I would say no on if this is a team that I think can win in the playoffs. You know, I think that they can make it interesting. I think that they can kind of be one of those teams that maybe squeaks by here, squeaks by there. But the Pittsburgh Steelers have not shown me, outside of guys, you know, really like T.J. Watt and maybe a Najee Harris, but T.J. Watt's the MVP of this team. There's no question in my mind whatsoever. With him being out, the team is, to me, nowhere near what it could be. It's a different team. And so I, you know, look forward to the return of T.J. Watt and what T.J. Watt can do for this Pittsburgh Steelers team. So, you know, putting the heat on like he has in recent days here. So, as far as fantasy goes, Najee Harris, yes, is worth the play. Pat Freiermuth, I like him as a low-end tight end one. I think he's a tight end one, but Ben kind of hurts him a little bit, but I do like him out there. And then Deontay Johnson, Chase Claypool, I have those guys as more flex players, more wide receiver threes because of Ben Roethlisberger. On the other side for Minnesota, in a game like this, I would lean more on, and not so much on Kirk Cousins. I mean, if Dalvin Cook is able to go Dalvin. If not, then Alexander Madison's worth the play. That's a guy that was sitting out there for a couple weeks before, you know, this past week or so when people maybe started picking him up. He was just sitting out there in free agency. So if for some reason he's out there for you, make sure you get him. He's a starting running back right now. Adam Thielen did not practice on Tuesday. He's doubtful for the game. So that makes Justin Jefferson ever more important in this. And it also increases the opportunity for D.D. Westbrook and K.J. Osborne, two guys that I know, D.D. from covering Jacksonville and K.J. Osborne from covering the Miami Hurricanes. So make sure you look out for those guys as a sneaky flex play. And Tyler Conklin's not a bad bet in this game as a mid-range tight end one. So I think Minnesota's got a little more edge in their fantasy, and I'm going to give them a little bit of an edge in their reality. I'm going to pick the Minnesota Vikings in this matchup, and I know that some people out there are not going to be happy with the pick that I just made, but the reality of it all is, you know, I got to go with what I got to go with. I know there's a lot of Steeler fans that know me, and I appreciate y'all, and I love y'all, but I got to be real about it, and that's my real. Mike, next game that we have up here is going to be Baltimore at Cleveland. What do you got?
Yeah, this is one of those games, kind of like Baltimore and Pittsburgh, Baltimore and Cleveland. Neither one of these teams like each other. It's always a battle. You can throw out the records a lot of times. Lamar Jackson, though, he's turns it on just about every time he's on the field. He's basically like a running back playing quarterback, and I even joke about that. Lamar Jackson, number two on my rankings this week for quarterbacks. Baker Mayfield, well, he's 20 spots further down, 22 on a ranking this week. And then you take a look at the running back situation. You're finally getting the band back together, finally getting Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt back this week. Nick Chubb at 19 and Kareem Hunt at 23. And then Devonta Freeman's been doing a heck of a job when he's healthy on the field. He's number 21 on the rankings. Then you go over to wide receiver, and you know this is where there's a difference, because you look at a guy like Hollywood Brown, and you look at how much the Ravens rushed the ball, and you're like, all right, well, Marquise Hollywood Brown, and then all of a sudden there's a big splash play, big touchdown, stretches the field kind of play. So that's what you can count on from Marquise Brown, number 11 this week. Then you have to go way down into the 20s or 23 for Jarvis Landry on the other side of the field. Tremendous drop off for everybody after that. Tight end, though, this is where the big money is. This is where Mark Andrews is, number 3 on the rankings this week. And Austin Hooper, number 12. Looking at this game, I don't know how, but somehow Vegas has Cleveland as the favorite in this game by 2.5. I'm going to take the Ravens in this one on the road.
Yeah, you know, the Baltimore Ravens, they're a team that is willing to go after it. They're a team that's willing to take chances. They're a team that's willing to put it on the line, right? This is a very, very exciting team to watch. This is a fully functional team in a lot of different ways. Sometimes, you know, life has to, it's hard. I mean, sometimes Baltimore, this team could be a team that's undefeated. You know, I do believe when I look at this team sometimes, I see a team that, you know, arguably could be undefeated. But at the same time, they have their ups and downs. They're 9-4, or 8-4, pardon me. And in the game, as Mike was talking about, against the Steelers, 20-19, you know, they end up losing this game, and because they decide to go for two and instead of tying and going into overtime. So, you know, I can't blame a team for trusting in their offense and believing in themselves. I haven't seen Dino Babers do that with Syracuse, and I would love to see that. So, you know, I'd rather have a team lose giving it all than just kind of playing average or playing to not lose. I want to see a team play to win. So with that being stated, you know, this team is a strong team. We know that the Ravens can do good things. And we know that the Browns can as well. The Browns are going to have to do some things in the draft, though. I think it's time to move forward. The Odell Beckham project didn't work. I didn't anticipate that it was going to. I didn't anticipate the Jarvis Landry project was going to work. So it's time to kind of retool and reload that wide receiver core, and they're going to have to do some things with that. But we'll start with what they have right now, and we'll go from there. So Cleveland in this matchup, for me, I'm not overly excited about a lot of things that they have in the passing game. Like I said, I do like that Nick Chubb is back. Kareem Hunt currently is questionable with a calf injury. That makes Nick Chubb's production even more so important for your fantasy team. If Kareem is unable to go, then you're going to have to definitely key in on Nick. I'd play him either way, but he's going to have more value to you if Kareem does not play. Jarvis Landry, I would say, is a low-end wide receiver too. Could be good for your PPR. I'm not overly wowed by him in fantasy production consistently. Austin Hooper, I have as a tight end too. But then for the away team, Lamar Jackson is a yes. Marquise Hollywood Brown is a yes as a wide receiver too. Mark Andrews, tight end one. And then Devontae Freeman and Latavius Murray, looking at both of these guys and what they can do. Latavius had an impact in the passing game. Latavius is a good flex play. Devontae Freeman could be a good flex play for you as well. I like Latavius a little bit more than Devontae, but I do see both of their values as flex players. And, you know, Lamar Jackson is the highest value you're going to get on either side of the ball for this game. I'm going to go with the Ravens and agree with Mike on this one as we stay all purple to start off Wake Up Call. Mike, next one that we have on the docket here, Jacksonville at Tennessee. We know that Jacksonville struggles to play the Titans historically. I also did some some kind of digging statistically into the history of Jacksonville, Tennessee, and realize that Jacksonville not only struggles to beat Tennessee, but they almost never beat them in recent history on a Sunday. They have to play them on an off day, like a Thursday. So this game's on a Sunday, doesn't bode well for Jacksonville. They're also on the road. What do you got?
Yeah, that's a great stat to have if you're an NFL football team. We don't play well on Sunday, okay? Yeah, that's great. Hey, look, quarterback situation is rough for fantasy in this one. Trevor Lawrence, I got a 24. He just hasn't been getting it done yet. That's okay. There's, you know, he's probably the best quarterback or one of the best quarterbacks in that draft last year. So, you know, I'm confident. I mean, even Peyton Manning threw like 28 interceptions his rookie year. So, whatever that's worth. But Tannehill on the other side of the ball might get a little bit of a lift this week, hoping Julio Jones is back from IR. I'll get to that in a second. But Ryan Tannehill, number 13 on the ranking. And, you know, they're still without Derrick Henry. They're going to continue to be without Derrick Henry. Derrick Henry's not coming out of the locker room like Lamar Jackson at halftime after an injury with a Superman cape on. But they got Dontrell Hilliard. They got Deonta Foreman, who've been doing magnificent, helping each other out, busting long plays. I got Dontrell Hilliard at 25 this week and Deonta Foreman at 31. Then on the other side of the ball, James Robinson is really the sole bright spot in the backfield for the Jags, number 16 this week. And then over to wide receiver, again, they're hoping to have Julio Jones back. They better. And even with him back, so much of what a guy like Julio Jones and Ryan Tannehill does is timing. You know, it is kind of like riding a bike. You can get right back on it, but can you take a running jump on that bike and continue to do 40 miles an hour and pop a wheelie? You know, you got it's the NFL. It's a little bit different than just running. So I got him at 47 this week, and Nick Westbrook, a kind number 48 right behind him. You know, you look on Jacksonville side of the ball, maybe Marvin Jones. I got him 40. So LaVisca Chenault, 36. So not a lot of money to be made here at this point at wide receiver. Going over to tight end, though, well, it's the same thing. Jacksonville still in dire need of a tight end. You might play James O'Shaughnessy at 18 this week on the rankings. And then Tennessee hasn't had anybody stepping up. They've been dinged up. They got Jeff Swaim or Anthony Firsker. Neither one of these guys is getting it done. So for whatever that's worth, I think it's going to be a closer game than people think. I said last week, though, and the Jags got blown out. But Tennessee's favored by 9 in this one at home. I just think that's kind of large. But, yeah, Tennessee's definitely going to win. I just think it's going to be closer than they think.
Yeah, you know, it's really frustrating to me that, you know, this is where, you know, Jacksonville is at. I wanted to see them have – I thought they could get to an 8-9 season. I thought that they could find their way to the equator. They've struggled to find their way to a lot of places this year, except for to the losing side of things. And Jacksonville – does have some talent on the team. You know, James Robinson in Jacksonville kind of reminds me of Sean Tucker here in Syracuse. It's looking at this and saying to myself, this guy is really talented, and he's on a team that can't really give him that much. And that's exactly how I feel. It's unfortunate, but it's true right now. Now, with that being said, I think that, you know, Jacksonville for the future can have some high hopes. And I'm hoping that these things come through. Trevor Lawrence is in his first year. Urban Meyer's in his first year. And there's going to be growing pains. And I think that people don't want to hear that because this is a team that's already lost a bunch of games. So you're saying, well, Dan, how can I endure any more? How can I see any more of this happen? Well, a team that's rebuilding is rebuilding. It's just unfortunate Jacksonville's been rebuilding for over a decade for the most part. And they did build something, and then it kind of fell apart. So with that being because they brought in guys that were super, super talented, but were also huge head cases, and that created an issue for the Jacksonville Jaguars and what they did for their future. So as we look to this matchup, James Robinson is worth the fantasy play to me. Outside of James, if you want to go, I mean, Laquon Treadwell, who used to play for the Vikings, he's moved up here. And he's starting to get some more opportunities. He could be a low-key flex for you, a very kind of secretive one. Throw him in there as a wide receiver 4. A lot of people might not even see him on the free agency list. You might have to go down that list because he just started to have some relevancy. So, you know, if you want to go Treadwell or Marvin Jones as a deep flex, I'm okay with that. Really, the value's in James Robinson. And then on the other side for the Tennessee Titans, you know, without Derrick Henry, the team is still relevant. It says a lot about their coaching. It says a lot about their coaching. So, you know, Ryan Tannehill in this game is not a bad bet because he's playing Jacksonville. I have him as a quarterback one for this week. Deontay Foreman and Dontrell Hilliard. Either one of these guys could get something done. I'm going to lean in more on Foreman. I think he could be a low-end wide receiver, or pardon me, running back two, or a high-end running back three for you this week. And then outside of that, Nick Westbrook, Chester Rogers, Dez Fitzpatrick, those are your receivers that you have right now. D.D. Westbrook's brother, I guess, and Nick? I don't know. But looking at this, I mean, these are non-household names who could be making some for themselves this week. Jeff Swaim, I think, is your best bet of anybody in the receiving core as a mid-range tight end one because he's playing Jacksonville. I got the Titans winning this game. The Titans are very depleted offensively. However, they're playing Jacksonville. And Jacksonville seems to lose the games that, you know, they should win. A depleted Tennessee team shouldn't be getting it done. But again, I commend their coaching for the fantastic work that's been done there, and this team has just remained relevant without their best offensive weapon and arguably the best running back in the game in Derrick Henry right now.
Raiders have been games come up on the schedule. There, Vegas. Going over to backs first, you know, Patrick Mahomes, you got to hope he's going to get right. You got to hope he's going to get. He's just been a tremendous disappointment for a lot of people all year. But has he really been a disappointment? I don't know if he's really been a disappointment. He's been a disappointment when you consider the Patrick Mahomes level of expectation. So we got to be careful with our expectations of players. These guys rewrite the rules. They rewrite the books. They rewrite the records. They set new benchmarks where you think they're going to be. And if they don't hit that super high level put up a lot of points, if they don't put up 400 yards and five touchdowns and all these astronomical numbers, you're disappointed now. Maybe we need to lower our expectations just a tad on these guys. They don't all wear capes and run around flying through the air saving the planet. But with that being said, Patrick Mahomes is the number one quarterback this week. Derek Carr, number 15 on the rankings. And then Josh Jacobs, Kenny Drake's dinged up on the ankle. So I think it's going to be mostly all Josh Jacobs here, number four on the rankings. Clyde Edwards-Helaire, number 17. Going over wide receiver again, Tyreek Hill, bad week last week. It's going to happen. Again, Tyreek Hill, just like Patrick Mahomes, don't have unfair expectations in these guys, and you won't be disappointed. But he's number three on the rankings. Week Hunter Renfro's been getting it done. He stepped up since Henry Ruggs was dismissed from the team. Hunter Renfro, number 12 on the receiving ranks for us. And then I think Darren Waller is going to be back, dinged up, not able to make it last week. Foster Moreau tried to step in, only got three receptions. So they desperately need their number one target in Darren Waller. I got him at 15 this week just because he's coming back from being dinged up. But you know, the number one tight end, of course, in football is Travis Kelce. He's number one this week. Vegas has this one 9.5 or 10 points KC at home. I think KC's going to win, but again, I think this one's going to be closer as well.
Yeah, you know, Vegas, remember last year, went into Kansas City and beat them in this divisional AFC West matchup. So don't be surprised at how interesting they can make this game. And it's still crazy to look at this thing and say there's no John Gruden there. Because, you know, Gruden was hired 10 years, $10 million a year, $100 million contract. He got an NFL athlete contract as a coach, but no longer there right now as this game gets set to kick off. I think this is going to be a really good game. I commend the Raiders. There's so much. Last year, I didn't think they were going to do anything. They surprised me, and they got some good wins out there. I still think they're doing some good things. They have lost Henry Ruggs with everything that went on with that. They lost John Gruden with everything that went on with that. Nothing to do with injury. So the drama that they've had, and to be able to kind of navigate through that, I commend them. Josh Jacobs is worth the play. Hunter Renfrow, I said it when he got drafted. I watched him at Clemson. I watched him in the ACC championship game that was played at the Camping World Bowl for the 1 year they were away from Charlotte down in Orlando, Florida. And I told you flat out, this man's got hands, and I don't care if he's fifth on the depth chart. He will find a way in the NFL because he's a good possession receiver, which is good for PPR. So I like Hunter Renfrow to throw out there for you. Not necessarily your number one or number two, but if he's on your roster, I don't think he can hurt you that bad. So with that being said, Darren Waller, if Waller is able to go, he's questionable. If he's able to go, you put him out there. If not, Foster Moreau, you could look at him. He only had one reception in the absence of Darren Waller recently here. So there's other better choices. But if you are very depleted and there's no other starting guys out there, or it's really hard to find one, you're in a deep, deep league, then Foster Moreau could be your bet. But if Darren Waller is able to go, you go Darren Waller, Hunter Renfrow, Josh Jacobs on the side of the Vegas Raiders. On the side of Kansas City, you play Patty Mahomes, of course. I don't have to tell you that. Clyde Edwards-Helaire, you put him out there as well. Good to see him back coming out of LSU. Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce are all worth the play as well. Byron Pringle is trying to make his way up the depth chart here. And Josh Gordon trying to do so as well, but Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce have the value. I'm going to go with Kansas City at home, but I'm very much paying attention to the fact that I know that Vegas can hang tough with them. So I'll be watching this one closely. Next one up, Mr. Sofka, before we take a step aside, New Orleans at the Jets. It's, you know, I wish I could say Benny in the Jets, but I can't. I could say Taysom versus the Jets, and I can say Zach in the Jets, Joe and the Jets, somebody summit every single week with the Jets. What are your thoughts on New Orleans traveling to MetLife Stadium? And by the way, to play a team that's not a New York team, they play in East Rutherford, New Jersey. But that's a story for another day.
By the way, I had a vision the other day, and the Saints will have a different quarterback next year. And the Saints were playing in my mind, in my dream, in my vision, the Saints were playing the Texans. And I couldn't tell which team because it was a dark jersey, but Russell Wilson was the quarterback in that game next year. So, I mean, it's just something to think about. I'm just going to put that out there. We'll mark that on the calendar there. And if it happens, we'll go back to this day. I remember when I said it on December 8th, 2021. Okay. Look, the Saints are struggling at quarterback. The Jets have been struggling at quarterback, even with their number one quarterback guy, Zach Wilson. Zach Wilson, number 23 this week. He's Zach Wilson. I'm going to give him the benefit of the rookie learning curve here. I'm not going to be too hard on him. But again, number 23, I'm not going to count on him either. Taysom Hill, well, buddy, you had like, what, four interceptions last week? You're not much better than Trevor Siemian there. So Taysom Hill, you're number seven on the ranking this week because you're a dual threat guy. You can have over 200 yards passing and over, you know, 100 yards running and a couple touchdowns, and you bring up wildcat type thing every play to the offense. So it's pretty dynamic what you do. So you're scoring fantasy points, and that's what we like here. On the running back side, well, Alvin Kamara should be back this week. Make sure you watch the practice schedule this week. He should be back. On the other side of the ball, Michael Carter's been out. And they've had a committee thing with Ty Johnson and Tevin Coleman. I'm not excited about either one of those guys, but I think Tevin Coleman's the one guy I have. He's number 33 on the rankings this week, and Ty Johnson, number 35, not far behind him. Over at wide receiver, this is where it kind of separates as well because, well, I really don't have a guy stepping out other than Elijah Moore, the rookie for the Jets. He's number 19 on the ranking this week. But, I mean, I got to go Tre'Quan Smith at 39. Marquez Callaway at 49. There's just no value there. I'm not really excited. Nothing does anything for me. And the same thing with tight ends here. So that's why I think this will be a relatively low-scoring game. And I think this would be an interesting game for fantasy just because of the storylines. Kamara, is one of those no-name guys going to step up? You know, are they going to have a Juwan Johnson score multiple touchdowns out of nowhere? Or is it going to be Ryan Griffin for the Jets? So be prepared for names you're not used to in this one outside Alvin Kamara. I'm going to take the Saints on the road against the Jets in the cold It's only going to be about 43 degrees, not that bad. So I'm going to take the Saints on the road.
To me, this could be a 13-10 game. I'm not excited about this game. This game's going to be on television in Central New York because if it's the Jets, the Giants, or the Bills, it's always on TV in Central New York. So it's confusing, but I mean, because of location, but the Jaguars get blacked out in Orlando. So I look at that and I say to myself, okay, like, look at that. Maybe don't make us have to watch the Jets this Sunday. But with that being said, Alvin Kamara, if he was able to play, then you put him out there. Mark Ingram has value. If not, Mark Ingram's a running back three for me, but still worth the play. Traquan Smith, he had 7 targets recently. Not a lot. Marquez Callaway, not a lot. If Taysom Hill is able to go, he's the one that's kind of going to give you a little bit of everything because he's a dual threat. But the problem is you don't want to put him out there as your quarterback. You know, so the issue with that is unless you can play 2 quarterbacks, you're not playing this guy. He's got value, but you probably, hopefully, have somebody else that's actually out there throwing passes and creating more of an offense. But Mark Ingram's got the value with all of that being said. And Nick Vinette, Juwan Johnson, they kind of dip because you don't know what Taysom's going to do. The receiving core dips because you don't know what Taysom's going to do. So the value's with Mark Ingram. If Alvin Kamara's able to play, then the value goes with him as well. Zach Wilson is back. Tevin Coleman, Ty Johnson, not really sold on any of that. Elijah Moore, not bad for flex, but that's really it. I'm going to pick New Orleans in this game, but I think it's going to be close, and I think it's going to be ugly. Mike, we got a question coming in. Speaking of Elijah Moore, this is from Lucas. He said he has 3 to start for PPR. Elijah Moore, Hunter Renfrow, DeAndre Hopkins, Javonte Williams, and Aaron Jones. Of those 5, what 3 do you pick? And then I'll pick 3.
Well, Aaron Jones, you got to be careful with Javonte Williams because Melvin Gordon might be back this week to snipe some of those. So I'm going to go Elijah Moore. I'm going to go Aaron Jones. I'm trusting he said it was a PPR league, so I'm going to go ahead and take D-Hop as well.
Okay. So that coming from Mike to you, Lucas. Mike saying in your start 3 PPR, he's going to pick Elijah Moore, Aaron Jones, and DeAndre Hopkins, and he's going to leave off the list Javonte Williams and Hunter Renfrow. Lucas, for me, I'm going to agree with Mike on Elijah Moore, and I'm going to agree with Mike on DeAndre Hopkins. And taking a look at this, I want to look at Javonte Williams, but Aaron Jones he's got the majority of it. So I'm going to agree with Mike through. So we're both going to tell you the same 3 for this one. You got good choices here. And so I could see value in Javonte. I could see value in Hunter Renfrow. But Elijah Moore, there's really nobody else to do it with the Jets. And DeAndre Hopkins is DeAndre Hopkins, even though this year's been, you know, injury laden. And then Aaron Jones is the guy in Green Bay. So even though A.J. Dillon, my guy, is getting some more time out there. So Mike and I are both going to tell you to start those 3, Hopkins, Jones, and Moore. Thank you for the question. If you have questions, make sure you send them to us, folks. We're happy to help, happy to answer your questions all throughout the show and even after the show. So if we don't get your question before the show ends live, you can go to facebook.com/wakeupcalldt, find the video and reply with your question. Or go to youtube.com/wakeupcalldt, find the show and reply with your question. Or you can go to Facebook at wakeupcalldt, Twitter at calldt, or Instagram at wakeupcall_dt, and shoot us your questions when we promote the show itself. So plenty of ways to connect with us if you somehow miss us live, but the best way to do it is live so we can answer you as we go. And Lucas said, appreciate the help, guys. Keep killing it on the show. You got it, Lucas. Thank you for listening. Thank you for your support and for being a part of it. We're happy to help you as always. So with that being said, Mike and I are going to take a step aside for a fast break. When we spin back around, we'll get into the rest of Week 14 of Fantasy Football. Questions, comments, and thoughts, send them to us. Dallas at Washington is up next on Wake Up Call with Dan Tortora from inside of the Cafe Cubal Studios and inside of the extended Fantasy Football Power Hour, proudly presented by the Wildcat Sportsbook.
why? Because we make ice cream. Creamy, rich, flavorful ice cream. Not yogurt or iced milk like some of our competitors. Ice cream. Fresh, by hand, daily. For the calorie conscious, we have something new for you. Our new Carbolite. Same great flavor, creaminess, and texture of our regular ice cream with only 35 calories an ounce. So whether you want an ice cream cake, flying saucer, dasher, carvalanche, hard or soft ice cream, we will satisfy your craving with our fresh, handmade regular or new Carbolite ice cream. Carbo the whip. It's what happy tastes like.
Cafe Kubalm offers same-day local delivery of our products, offering no delivery charge for Onondaga County. Shop CafeKubalm.com for fresh roasted coffee beans, cold brew, travel mugs, and all your essential Cafe Kubalm needs. Cafe Kubalm, coffee for the soul.
Sports Pub in Camillus, New York is located on 3680 Milton Avenue in the Home Depot Plaza. It is your family-friendly sports bar and restaurant. Folks, some sports bars aren't family-friendly. Some family-friendly restaurants are not sports bars. The Wildcat Sports Pub in Camillus, New York is proud to be both. It is that marriage that you've been looking for years. The Wildcat Sports Pub is your home base for your sports bar and restaurant needs, games for the kids, indoor and outdoor activities, and enough things on the menu to come back every single week and get to try something new. They're open Sundays from noon to 8 p.m., Monday through Wednesday, 11 a.m. to 11 p.m., and Thursday through Saturday from 11 a.m. to midnight. For reservations and party information, call 315-487-2222 for the Wildcat family-friendly sports pub and restaurant.
Hanging out with you where sports meets life every single Monday through Friday from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. time. You're also watching on YouTube.com/WakeUpCallDT, Facebook.com/WakeUpCallDT, and on Facebook.com/LiveNowDT. So whether you're on MixLR listening on WakeUpCallDT.com or watching and listening on YouTube and Facebook, we appreciate you so very much. And of course, you can go to the fantasy tab on WakeUpCallDT.com as all of that will be updated today with all of our broadcasts. So you can go back and watch everything, including the latest one, which is happening right now. Very excited to bring you a little new hairdo to the fantasy side of things on WakeUpCallDT.com. So very, very much looking forward to that. And thank you so much for being a part of the show, as always. Mike and I are here with you every single Wednesday from 9:45 to 11 a.m. Eastern Time in the Extended Power Hour, proudly presented by the Wildcat Sports Pub here on Wake Up Call with Dan Tortora. As we this matchup.
Well, this used to be Cowboys and Indians game, so I guess now we're going to call it America's team versus the football team. Boring. Yeah. Here we go. Dallas on the road to Washington. I got Dak Prescott at number 8 on the ranking this week. Taylor Heineke's been doing a heck of a job filling in here at the end, really showing his athleticism, but he's number 18 against that Dallas defense. I just like the way Dallas takes away the ball with Diggs and company. They're able to bait you into throwing the ball, and I think that might happen to Heineke here. Ezekiel Elliott seems to be falling off a bit, so make sure you've got Tony Pollard rostered in your league, if not rostered, but I'm sure he is. Ezekiel Elliott, number 13 on the rankings. Antonio Gibson been playing on a fractured shin for a while, number 8 on the rankings. And then, like I mentioned before, with Tony Pollard, he's going to be in the mix. He's dinged up a bit now as well, though, so just really watch those Friday practice reports going on. CeeDee Lamb, though, he's been stepping up, number 6 on the rankings. Amari Cooper's a little bit further down at number 23. Now, on the other side of the ball, for Washington. Washington's got one receiver, heads and shoulders above everyone else, and that's Terry McLaurin. Scary Terry. This guy seems to get number 13 on the ranking this week. And then over to tight end, Logan Thomas is going to be out for Washington. And you look at a guy named John Bates, number 23 on our ranking this week, but I think he's going to sneak one in for a red zone score here. And then Dallas on the other side of the ball, I mean, I don't know who's going to step up here, if anybody. So I'm not really invested in this game in a tight end position is what I'm saying. Dalton Schultz may show up. He's a touchdown dependent guy. He's not like a Kelce or a Kittle who can stretch the field and give you a lot of options. So I do have him top 10. I do have him number 6. But after the top 5 in tight ends, I mean, it's a tremendous drop off. So I'm going to go for Dallas on the road here in a much needed game for both teams. I'm going to take Dallas on the road.
Yeah, isn't it amazing how Dallas has Dak Prescott and Ezekiel Elliott, CeeDee Lamb, Amari Cooper, all these guys, and they're always, every year, expected to win, expected to be a playoff team. Washington gets little to no respect nationally, yet when Dallas needs to win games down the stretch, they struggle to do it, and Washington continues to stay relevant. So, and just so people know, I asked Joe Theismann when he was on the show last week, what I should call him. Should I call him Washington Redskins quarterback alum or Washington football team quarterback alum? And Joe Theismann said to me, you know, he's like, when I won the Super Bowl, when I did all that back then and we had those wins and had those seasons, we were the Redskins. So I'm the Washington Redskins quarterback. And I said, okay, fair enough. Find a name for the team. That's all I ask. That's all I ask. He thinks that by next year or whatever, that coming up soon here within the next couple of years, there's going to be a team name. I don't know why it's taken so long. It's ridiculous. If you were trying to figure out the name of your baby this long in the nursery, they would have kept the baby and told you to leave the hospital. So at this point, Dak Prescott, let's get into the game. Dak Prescott, Zeke Elliott, Tony Pollard, I like him as a flex. Amari Cooper and CeeDee Lamb are both good to go. Play him. And I like Dalton Schultz. I like a lot of players on Dallas when it comes to fantasy here. Taylor Heineke's been relevant, but hard for me to put out there in fantasy. I like Antonio Gibson and Terry McLaurin in this matchup. And Logan Thomas, as of right now, is doubtful, and it could be out for the season. So, really, it's Antonio Gibson and Terry McLaurin. There's more value on Dallas' side, and they're playing in Washington. This game makes me freaking nervous for the Cowboys, my second favorite team ever. I'm going to go with the Cowboys in this one. Although I think this is going to be like a 29-28, kind of like a weird scoring game. But I'm going to pick Dallas. Even though I very much could come here next Wednesday and tell you that Washington won. I know this is going to be like a hair. This is going to be literally like a one-point type of feel to it. So I'm going to pick Dallas, but I understand that very easily this could be Washington. I mean, they've won a bunch of games. For goodness sakes, they've beaten Tom Brady this year. So Atlanta at Carolina, Mike, the battle of is Carolina going to keep Cam Newton now after this year versus when is Matt Ryan done in Atlanta?
You know, Cam's going to be the quarterback next year as well, because this isn't a quarterback rich class, you know, and again, you're going to need five or so teams going to be looking for a quarterback. They're just not going to find the one they're going to need. You guys are going to be reached for and overdrafted. So I think Cam's going to be around it. Let's face it, for fantasy players, Cam loves him some Cam, especially down near the goal line. That's why Cam Newton's number 9 on the rankings this week. Meanwhile, Matty Ice on the other side, D1, struggling all year, even with the Phenom and Kyle Pitts, but, you know, they don't. Julio Jones away, Calvin Ridley stepped away. He really hasn't had a lot. I mean, when you got Olamide Zaccheaus and Russell Gage, you know, it doesn't strike fear into any DB's minds, that's for sure. Going over to running back, a guy that should be playing wide receiver, was playing wide receiver. Now he plays more running back. He's doing a heck of a job. Cordarrelle Patterson, number 10 on the ranking this week. And then Chuba Hubbard trying to step up for an injured Christian McCaffrey. He's dinged up himself. Look for a dose of him and Amir Abdullah mixed together. Amir Abdullah and Chuba Hubbard, 27 and 28, respectively, on my rankings. And then on the other side, wide receiver here. This is where there's that tremendous drop-off. Now, you have DJ Moore. He's up there. He's number 10 on the rankings. But then after that, it's just a tremendous drop-off. There's nobody on the field I'm excited about. And, well, basically the same thing goes in the tight end position with the exception of Kyle Pitts here. And Kyle Pitts is number 8 on the rankings. So this week, not so much in this game. There's a few bright spots, but I'm going to take Carolina at home in this one.
Yeah, it's hard to pick Atlanta. I mean, this team started off the season getting blown out by Philadelphia, who I don't think is that great this year. Although I'm very excited that Gardner Minshew got out there. That's my dude. So very excited for Minshew Mania in a different shade of green. So for this matchup, Cordarrelle Patterson, I mean, he's taken over the duties here. I had people asking me, should they keep Mike Davis? He had 69 yards and a touchdown and a loss. He's still relevant. But there's other, I mean, it depends on who's out there. That's why we ask you to send us your questions and tell us who's available. But here's my take. Russell Gage, who I told you to look out for at the beginning of the season, as a little sneaky guy here, he's become number one. Because there's no Julio Jones, and there's no Calvin Ridley. So Russell Gage has become number one, which moved up Tajay Sharpe, who came from the Titans, which moved up Olamide Zaccheaus, who I covered when he played for Virginia in college. So these guys are moving up the list. Kyle Pitts is there. He's still not what I think he can be. I think the next couple of years are going to show us who Kyle Pitts can mature to in year three and year four. But I like Gage as a wide receiver three or a flex. I like Kyle Pitts in this one. And Cordarrelle Patterson's not a bad bet for you as well, as long as you have other more traditional wide receiver or running backs out there for you. Cam Newton loves him, Cam. So there's nothing wrong with putting Cam out there, and he's going to put it on Atlanta because Atlanta's got no defense. So I like that. Chuba Hubbard, I like him as a low-end two, high-end three at running back. And DJ Moore, not a bad play as a wide receiver. I have him as a low-end two because he just doesn't wow me. But I'm going to go with Carolina at home. Atlanta's just, they're just not good at all. So, I mean, there's other teams that are worse, but not that good. Luke Sutherland, who was with us earlier here on today's broadcast doing our Dolphin Dive special, he said the Bills make him emotional. They make a lot of people emotional. We got to spend Monday Night Football, Mike. I didn't get to tell you this. We spent Monday Night Football this week with Al Romano, who won a national championship with Tony Dorsett and the Pitt Panthers. We went to Pizza Man Pub on 50 Oswego Street in Baldwinsville, and we had a pregame Monday Night Football broadcast with the Bills Mafia and the Bills backers at Pizza Man, and we were giving out T-shirts and koozies. I got a shout-out. I think it's the Labatt Blue distributor and whatnot. The koozies that they gave us, the bottleneck stuff that we had, the traditional koozies, as well as the T-shirts had Josh Allen artwork all over it. This was some fantastic stuff that, like, Dick's would be selling for, like, $30 as a T-shirt. So I want to shout out Bills Mafia because y'all came out to play, and we had some fun, and I'm sorry your team didn't come out to play this week. But I just want to make that note since Luke brought it up. The Bills make a lot of people emotional, and Mike has yelled at Josh Allen publicly. I'm very upset as well, so hopefully things will get back. Seattle at Houston, Mike, you think Russ the Bus may not be in Seattle next year. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, you had mentioned in the last game about a couple bad teams, especially the Falcons. These are two worse teams. You said there's not many teams that are worse. These two teams are worse. I mean, outside of playing quarterback, running the ball, throwing the ball, catching the ball, or tackling and playing defense, these two teams are great as long as you don't include any of those things. What are we doing here, guys? I can't play fantasy football with any one of these guys. Looks like Davis Mills is probably going to get the start for Houston. He's number 26 on the rankings here. And then on the other side of the ball, Russell Wilson hasn't been doing anything to excite me. I know he had problems with the finger. He was out. If he came back too soon, he came back too soon. Just let's do it right at least, Russell. You're not cooking very well. You're number 14 on the rankings this week. Looking at the running back situation, Alec Collins is banged up. Chris Carson, of course, has been gone for the year. Houston's best bet. They're putting all their money on Rex Burkhead. If you're putting all your money on Rex Burkhead, you got problems. He's number 39 on the rankings. And then maybe I go to Brandon Cooks as wide receiver, number 20 on the rankings. Even DK Metcalf has had a hard time getting off because of Russell Wilson. DK Metcalf, number 16 on the ranking. Tyler Lockett, number 18 on the ranking. See, those guys should be top 10 guys. But Russell's not Russell right now, so that's why they're struggling. And then same thing at tight end. I'm not real excited about starting anybody from either team here. And just because I have to pick a winner, I'm going to pick one. I'm going to take Seattle on the roof.
Yeah, I mean, this game could tie. But I mean, I just – Seattle, I mean, they've knocked themselves out of the playoffs. They're not playoff bound this season. They don't have a path. And so that's all well and done. Houston is just abysmal. And I understand. That division based on mediocrity. They were a little bit better or average, and everybody else was below average. That's how they won. They didn't win because they were great. They didn't win because they had a really, really good team. They won because they weren't as bad as everybody else in the AFC South. That's why they won at 8-8 or 9-7. They could do it because they didn't have to do much to do it. And now the Houston Texans are reeling. The Deshaun Watson thing just smells bad. Obviously there's a lot more to this story because he's a very talented quarterback that I covered when he was at Clemson. And him not going to jail or go to court, but to still not be playing even though he's healthy and nobody picked him up by the trade deadline, there's more to that story. And I was talking to some people in Cincinnati about that when I was down there for the Bearcats-Cougars game for college football for the AAC championship. There's definitely more to that story. Russell Wilson on his side for Seattle, he hasn't, like Mike said, things haven't been great. It's hard to keep him off. It's hard to say that he can't. This game could be 33-30 because I don't think Seattle's good enough to stop Houston, and Houston may just find its way to a bunch of points. Could be weird. They could fumble something and just follow the ball bouncing and pick it up and go into the end zone. Could be one of those days where the ball just wobbles their way. So Russell Wilson, I think, he's still a quarterback one. He's still there. He's lower end, but he's still there. DK Metcalf is worth the play in Tyler Lockett, but this game's been affected. Adrian Peterson's been all over the planet this season, and now he's in Seattle. I don't trust it. And on the other side for Houston, David Johnson, we knew that was a bust. Tyrod Taylor, if he's able to go, he's questionable with a wrist injury. Still wouldn't play him in this one. Brandon Cooks is the only one worth the play, and he's a low-end wide receiver, 3 or 4. I'm going to pick the Seahawks, but like Mike said, this game is ugly. This game is very ugly. Seattle, Houston, the Jets, the Falcons, all teams that are maybe hoping to be at the top of the draft, but not at the top of their divisions. Next one up, Mike, Detroit at Denver. This is a heck of a game for Denver. What do you have?
Detroit coming off the big win. They finally got a win. And, I look at the line in this game, 7.5. I think Detroit's a better team than Houston. I think they're a better team than Seattle. I think they're a better team than the Falcons. They've lost some one-possession games. They've lost some last-minute games. So at 7.5, I say take the points and win your money. But I wouldn't be surprised if the Lions went to Denver and somehow, some way, won this game and put 2 in a row up on the board. Detroit's Jared Goff, not too excited about him fantasy-wise. So number 25 on a ranking. Teddy Bridgewater, number 16. He's the Mr. Mendoza guy lately this year. Looking at the running back situation, Javonte Williams tore it up when Melvin Gordon was out for a little bit. He's number 11 on the ranking this week. Melvin Gordon trying to make it back this week, number 29. And DeAndre Swift, I think he's still going to be out. Jamal Williams taking over most of that load there. Jamal Williams, number 20 on the rankings. Looking at the wide receiver, well, neither of these teams really excite me in the wide receiver department. I mean, I got Jerry Jeudy at number 26, still making his way back timing-wise. He's been out for a while with an injury. And then you look a little further down on the rankings, Amon-Ra St. Brown. I mean, yeah, he had a heck of a coming out game last week, and that's all fine and dandy. And then you got Courtland Sutton at 45. I find it hard to pencil guys in when they get the high a number next to their name. The best pass catchers in the game are the tight ends for both teams. TJ Hockenson, number 5 on the ranking, and Noah Fant, number 10 on the ranking. I think the Broncos are going to win this game, but I think it's going to be closer than people think. And again, I wouldn't be surprised if Detroit does snipes the Broncos here.
Yeah. This is definitely one of those games where Detroit's riding high. Denver is a better team than I think people give them credit for. Do want to make note of this too. Seattle, more not great news. Jamal Adams needed season-ending shoulder surgery on the defensive side of the ball, so they have now lost him. And so on top of the actual losses, they're now lost one of their top defensive players. To go back to Detroit's game, DeAndre Swift is hurt right now. Swift is questionable with a shoulder AC joint injury. That gives more value to Jamal Williams. Jamal in this game, not a bad play. You know that I am not a huge fan of Jamal Williams. Not a personal thing. I never was a fan of him at Green Bay. I didn't feel like he got me much of anything in fantasy. But in this game, he's going to be the guy that's going to be there. Jamar Jefferson, you got to watch out for him as well. He could do some good things in this. So Jamal Williams, not a bad flex for you, or a lower-end running back. Amon-Ra St. Brown, Josh Reynolds, and whatnot. You never know. Amon-Ra St. Brown, like you said, had a coming-out party, but that was one game. Temper your expectations. TJ Hockenson is the guy I would go for if I'm going to play anybody in the receiving core for Detroit. On the other side for Denver, Melvin Gordon, if he's able to go, he does create somewhat of an issue for Javonte, but I like Javonte. I think Javonte is definitely worth a start. I start him every single week. I mean, that's just how I look at it. Unless I make a blunder like last week where I was flying and in between flights, I was watching the college football playoff and covering that, coming out of Cincinnati, making sure Cincinnati got in and watching that closely, and then lost track of time and did not put Javonte in my starting lineup. But when I'm not flying planes, I'm putting Javonte in. Cortland Sutton and Jerry Jeudy, I like them both in this matchup. And Noah Fant, I like him too. Teddy Bridgewater brings some good to this offense that they haven't had in a while. So I'm going to pick the Denver Broncos. They got a bunch of fantasy value, but I think that the Lions could potentially make it interesting. I do believe that. Next one up, Mike, the Giants at the Chargers. How about this? I had this conversation in Cincinnati as well. This is the battle of the teams that Eli Manning wanted to play for and didn't want to play for. Don't draft me, Chargers, when they were San Diego, because I won't play for you. And then they had to flip-flop and let him go to the Giants. And so, kind of interesting. Phillip Rivers could have been a Giant. Eli Manning could have been a Charger. Now they're playing each other in Los Angeles. What do you got?
Yeah, you know, and what's funny is the Giants, I think they made the right call. I think they made the right move for themselves as an organization. You know, Eli able to get a couple championships there done. Of course, the name, his dad had more to do with them, not with Eli not playing on the West Coast. That was a big thing. And Chargers took him anyway, and they were calling a bluff. And then they worked out a deal with the Giants on draft day. It was something else. I remember that distinctly. But the Giants struggling since, you know, Daniel Jones not playing very Daniel Jones-like ball like they thought he would be. So you got to question the pick. But the thing I don't like about football nowadays is, you know, we've become that impatient society. We stand in front of the microwave and say, come on, hurry up. I don't have all minute. You know, you got to give time for these players to develop, but that's not where we're at. We're changing coaches every 3 years. We're changing programs, and then this guy doesn't fit this system anymore. And you got to find the right guy. You got to slow down and choose carefully. That goes with coaches. That goes with players, and it goes to fantasy players as well. So make sure when draft time comes up, you check back with us. We are on this year-round. We don't quit. We don't skip weeks. We don't stop. It's year-round. It's every day. Fantasy football, if you want to win, it's an everyday sport. It's not just during the cold weather months. All right, sorry I got off on a tangent there, but the Chargers have the better quarterback here by far, Justin Herbert. Justin Herbert, number 5 on the ranking here. You know, and Daniel Jones dinged up. Mike Glennon got hurt late in that game. They may start Jake Fromm for the Giants. don't start Jay Fromm. Don't start Mike Lennon. Just don't even go there with me. Looking at the running back situation, Austin Eckler, number one on the rankings. Saquon trying to get back to being Saquon, but after multiple injuries, catastrophic-type injuries, struggling to get back to that level we expect them to be at. He's number 14 on the rankings this week. Keenan Allen dinged up, probably not going to make it. Mike Williams gets a bump a little bit. He's number 15 on the rankings. You can't really do much with the Giants as far as receivers, so I'm going to stay away. Maybe a Kenny Golladay, but he's in the 50s. And then I'm hoping for the Giants' sake that, you know, Evan Ingram shows up. He's number 20 on the rankings. And then Jared Cook, touchdown dependent, red zone guy, 16 on the tight end rankings. I think the Chargers are going to win this one big.
Yeah, you know, I mean, this, you know, like you said, and going back to history and what have you done for me lately and whatnot, you know, you look at that with Justin Herbert right now. I mean, Justin Herbert is not a bad quarterback. He throws a great ball, but the team has been underwhelming. You know, the Chargers haven't really done a ton to wow you, and that division is still wide open. It's not just the Chiefs division. The Raiders have been relevant. The Broncos have been relevant. The Chargers have been relevant. This division is a division that has been hard fought, you know, throughout the season, and teams that aren't, nobody's great this year in the AFC West. So, you know, that's something that I look to. We look at the fact that the Chargers played at the Bengals, won 41-22 on the road, so they're coming off of that after losing to the Broncos, and they've kind of had this back-and-forth season since the Patriots lost. They lost and they won against the Eagles, and they lost to the Vikings, beat the Steelers, lost to the Broncos, beat the Bengals. So this would be a loss if they followed their bouncing ball, but they are playing the Giants, and the Giants are going to the West Coast here. The Giants, Saquon Barkley, I mean, he's just fallen off here. He had 74 yards, which is going to get you 7 points in my league, but he hasn't been great. Saquon is worth the play, but he's not an all-out number one like we thought he would be. He's not a top five like we thought he would be. Not a top 10 like we thought he would be. I don't see any other value out there for them. I see it in Saquon. And then for the Chargers in this matchup, I like Justin Herbert. Austin Eckler is hurt, so he's questionable for the, well, it's undisclosed. He's questionable. If he's able to play, you play him. If not, then Josh Kelly and Justin Jackson get some stuff here. And Larry Roundtree might get involved as well. So if Eckler's not out there, it's going to be very difficult for you to pick amongst these three. I'd probably stay away. Keenan Allen is on injured reserve right now on the COVID-19 list, which gives more value to Mike Williams and Jared Cook, who are both worth the play in this one. Neither one of them I see as outright top number one guys, but I do see value in them. So, with that being said, I'm going to pick the Chargers, but I do. I feel horrible for the Giants, and I know the Chargers aren't where they want to be right now, but let's see if they can put two wins together in a row for the first time in weeks. I think Justin Herbert will be able to do it at home against the Giants. So, with that being said, it's time for us to bounce into our next game. For all of your games, whether it's college football, the NFL, baseball, which will be back in about 5 minutes, the NHL, the NBA, college basketball, and so much more, and of course, our monthly on-site, on-location broadcast of Wake Up Call with Dan Tortora, featuring West Genesee and other favorites in our community. Wildcat is there for you, and they got enough stuff on the menu to let you try something different every single week if you went there for all 52 weeks of the year. Head out to the Wildcat today, including their Wildcat sauce for their wings, boneless or bone-in. Go to the Wildcat, 3680 Milton Avenue in Camillus, New York. And, of course, call them for takeout or delivery at 315-487-2222. That's 315-487-2222. San Francisco at Cincinnati, Mike, what do you got?
Yeah, this is going to be a good game to watch. Cincinnati, every time you think they're going to win, they lose. Every time you think they're going to lose, they win. San Fran doesn't have any healthy running backs. I'll get to that in just a second here. Jimmy Garoppolo needs to step it up. You know, since he's been back from injury, he's done okay. They play better with him right now. So, you know, I definitely need him in the lineup. He's number 19 on the ranking. And then on the other side of the ball here, for the Bengals. You know, their quarterback situation with Joe Burrow, I think he was having a better year, you know, year and a half, 2 years ago when he came out, because, well, he's been kind of mediocre at times, but at times he's been spectacular. So we want to see that consistency. He's number 17 on the rankings. And, you know, you look at the running back situation, they got a great situation in Cincinnati right now with Joe Mixon. Seems to be almost an every down back for him. Number 5 on the rankings. On the other side of the ball, everybody's dinged up. Eli Mitchell should be the starter if he's healthy. You got Trey Sermon's dinged up. It might be Jamichael Hasty. Jeff Wilson's dinged up. It might just be Jamichael Hasty. So look for that game. If you're playing DFS late in the week, if it looks like it's going to be Jamichael Hasty, go ahead and pull the trigger on him on your DFS lineup here. I got him ranked number 40. I'm not expecting that much yet, but things can change on those rankings, you know, depending on who practices, who doesn't this week. Look for Friday's practice to be your key for Sunday's games. Looking at the wide receiver situation here, again, Cincinnati has some great players. Stretching the field is what Ja'Marr Chase does. He's number 9 on the rankings. T. Higgins, number 17 on the rankings. And then on the other side of the ball there for the Niners, Debo is back, number 14 on the rankings this week. Debo looking to get it done. That guy runs the ball. That guy runs jet sweeps. That guy catches the ball. He'll go over the middle. This guy's a baller. And then you look at the tight end situation. You got George Kittle, of course, top 5 always, number 4 on the rankings. On the other side of the ball, CJ Uzomah, number 21 on the rankings here. This is going to be a great game. I'm really looking forward to watching this game. And I'm going to take the Niners to sneak out on the road here.
Yeah, I mean, Cincinnati home for 2 weeks in a row here, which is awesome for them to have this opportunity. I was just down there and staying in the same hotel as a Chargers fan who was all decked out with the right shoes that matched the jersey, that matched the everything. He was ready to go, and he obviously had a good time as they took care of Cincinnati in Cincinnati. San Fran for this one. Mike's got the Niners on the road in this one. Jimmy G is back as the starter of these last few weeks. Debo Samuel, as Mike talked about, if he's able to make it happen with that groin injury, which could be a nagging one, just watch it. He has value. Brandon Ayuk, I put him as a wide receiver 4. Debo's good for a flex. Elijah Mitchell, there's you know, that that red box with the white plus sign that, you know, kind of make the injury, you know, what we use as the icon for when somebody's hurt. You see that all over, unfortunately, the running back room for San Francisco. Elijah Mitchell, Jeff Wilson, Trenton Cannon, Raheem Mostert, Trey Sermon, all on that. Jamichael Hasty is the only one that's not. Jamichael Hasty, and he was the only one to, as they said, to get through this past Sunday healthy. So everybody's questionable. Hasty could be a very low flex for you because he's playing Cincinnati, but still be out there for you. George Kittle is worth the play in this matchup. And really, George Kittle brings the most value to the team right now. On the other side, if Joe Burrow is able to go, he is questionable with a finger injury. Thank goodness quarterbacks don't need their fingers. But if he does, make sure you watch this one. That's going to affect everybody else. Joe Mixon is questionable with a neck injury, which puts Samaje Perine in a place where he can get some more work if Joe Mixon's unable to go. So you got to watch that. Got to watch T. Higgins as well, who is questionable with an ankle injury. If Burrow is able to go, Ja'Marr Chase has value. T. Higgins has some wide receiver 3 value. If Mixon goes, he's still a running back 1 value. C.J. Uzomah has value as well. But there's a lot of ifs in Cincinnati. There's a lot of ifs in San Francisco as far as who's going to be in this thing healthy. With that being said, I'm going to go with San Francisco on the road, but hopefully these teams will be able to put some health together to make this game a fair game on both sides. Mike, we have a question that came in before we take a step aside here. Evan asked us, do we like Josh Jacobs or David Montgomery this week?
Josh Jacobs. David Montgomery's doing a heck of a job coming back here. I got Josh Jacobs at number 4 on the rankings this week. And, you know, David Montgomery, he's not far off. I mean, he's an RB1 technically. He's my number 12 on the rankings. So between the two of them, Josh Jacobs. And that's primarily because Kenyon Drake's out with the ankle.
Yeah, you know, Evan, I'm going to agree. I'm going to say Josh Jacobs as well. I thought Josh would bring more to the team this year than he has. He brought a lot in recent history, including last season. So I thought that things would start off a little bit better, but I'm more leaning on the side of Josh Jacobs. So, Evan, thank you for the question. Mike and I are both going Josh Jacobs for you. So we think you should play Josh Jacobs this week. With that being said, Mike, we got one more game before we take a step aside. Buffalo at Tampa Bay. So the Bills get to face Tom Brady again. Here's the thing about the Bills. They get to face Tom Brady after facing Tom Brady's old team. In back-to-back weeks, they had to play Tom Brady and Tom Brady's ex-wife, Bill Belichick. What are your thoughts on Buffalo at Tampa?
Yeah, this is a great quarterback game here. Josh Allen versus Tom Brady. I actually have Josh Allen ranked above Tom Brady here. Josh Allen at number 4, Tom Brady at number 6. Leonard Fournette's been really getting it done. He's number 2 on the running back rankings. Buffalo's been giving up the yardage. And on the other side of the ball, Buffalo's in a three-headed monster mess. You know, Zach Moss was a healthy scratch a couple weeks ago. Now he looks like the best man in the backfield. Devin Singletary struggling a bit. Matt Breda fumbling the ball. These guys are all in the 30s and 40s. So in order of preference, though, if you had one of them for some reason, I got Zach Moss at 34, Devin Singletary at 37, and Matt Breda at 42. So flip a three-sided coin, whatever that means. Stephon Diggs getting it done as the number 1 wide receiver in Buffalo, though. He's number 8 on the rankings here. And then for Tampa, you know, you got the brothers usually, Mike Evans and Chris Godwin. Those are two guys that you would think, man, these guys play well when they're both on the field. One covers for the other. Well, you know, Godwin's dinged up a bit, may not make the game here. I got Mike Evans for 21 on the ranking. By the way, Mike Evans, each NFL team is putting up their man of the year. All 32 teams have a man of the year guy, a guy who does something great in the community, that brings more than something other than the great talent on the field. They do off the field community service and stuff. So, you know, Mike Evans is definitely that guy for the Bucks that there has not, they've nominated Mike Evans here. Rob Gronkowski, though, man, come alive ever since he's come back. He's number 2 on the ranking. Him and Tom are connected. Now, I love it when you see a laser go from Tom right to Gronk, and Gronk barrels his way into the end zone. And on the other side of the ball, Dawson Knox is the guy to be reckoned with. Even with the dinged up hand past couple weeks, he's been getting it done. Dawson Knox, number 7 on the rankings. I know he's had a bad week, too, but Bucks do give up some yardage and such to the tight end position. I got to go with Tom Brady at home. I'm going to take the Bucks.
Yeah, I'm going to, you know, Buffalo is reeling. This game should be so much more highly anticipated than it is, and it's because Buffalo's been down. It's hard to keep Josh Allen off, though. I mean, I know he's been up and down, and I know he's kind of been killing your fantasy, but it's hard to not play him. I'm just not a big fan of Buffalo's ability to score the ball right now, but I still have to say Josh Allen's a quarterback 1, but if he's my quarterback going into any week right now, I'd be nervous in fantasy. With that being said, like I said, I still think he's worth the play. Stephon Diggs as well, and then we look at the fact of Emmanuel Sanders. I got him as a flex guy. Cole Beasley and Gabriel Davis, I don't really have much of anything for them. Gabriel Davis scored in the defeat. He's been up and down and around the corner. If you need somebody injury, you got to grab somebody on the waiver wire, whatever it may be. Gabe, not bad to put as like a wide receiver 4, but that's where I have him. Dawson Knox, I would like to put him out there as well. He had some tough go at it in a passing game in the loss to the Patriots 14-10, but I think Dawson Knox is still a tight end 1. For Tampa, Tom Brady, Leonard Fournette, Mike Evans, Chris Godwin, Rob Gronkowski, all worth the play. Cameron Brate, another sneaky one. I know Gronk is here, and I know he's back, but little Cameron Brate could get something. Maybe not a lot of yards, but maybe a short yardage, 4-yard touchdown. That's what I'm looking at. So I'm going to pick the Bucks in this matchup, but I want the Bills to get back to it. It's really sad to watch this Buffalo team that had so much upside. Has Austin Eckler and Eli Mitchell starting over Josh Jacobs right now, as well as David Montgomery. So he has Eckler, Eli Mitchell, then Josh Jacobs. So my thought is Eli's coming off a concussion. Eckler's also on the injury report. I think Josh Jacobs and Eckler, as long as Eckler's good to go, and then go from there. So he's asking us, so do we like Eckler, Jacobs, Montgomery, even if Mitchell's starting? So of these four, he right now he has Eckler starting and Eli Mitchell and Josh Jacobs coming in. What are our thoughts on this? It's two running backs and flex PPR. So two running backs and a flex for PPR. Do we go Eckler, Jacobs, Eli, Eckler, Jacobs, as well as Mitchell? How do you look at this right now? Of the four that are, pardon me, I already said that. So do we go Eckler, Jacobs, Monty, or Eckler, Jacobs, Mitchell? How do you look at it?
I think Eckler's going to make the game. He's ranked number one on my rankings, so I'm going to take Eckler. And then I got Josh Jacobs ranked real high this week, and I said before, because of, you know, primarily because of the Kenyon Drake injury as well, I got him ranked number four this week. And I got David Montgomery ranked number 12, and I got Eli Mitchell may not make the game. So, you know, there you go. Eckler, then Jacobs, then Montgomery.
Yeah, you know, and that's what I would say too, especially with Eli coming off the concussion. So if you're going to do it like that, you know, he was telling us he has Eckler and Eli over Jacobs, and we have Jacobs in there with Eckler as definite starters, then we would put David Montgomery from there. So we would change it up a little bit. We wouldn't go Eckler, Monty, and, well, I mean, it doesn't matter on your roster. You got to play three of them. But Eckler, Monty, and Jacobs is where Mike and I would suggest things to go, and take Eli off is how we look at it. With that being said, we're going to take a step aside for our final fast break. I gave my thoughts on the Bucks-Bills game. I'm picking the Bucks as well at home, reluctantly. And we're going to take a step aside, come back with Chicago and Green Bay, as well as the Rams at Arizona. Two big-time games, Green Bay implications for them in the postseason, and obviously the Rams trying to find their footing, and Arizona trying to do their thing in the NFC West. So plenty coming up on Wake Up Call with Dan Tortora in these final two matchups in week 14 of fantasy football. Ask your questions as we go. Ask them during the fast break so we can answer them when we come back. Right after this, inside the Cafe Kubal Studios, this is Wake Up Call with Dan Tortora with Mike Sofka and myself, Dan Tortora. And we are here with you inside of the extended Fantasy Football Power Hour.
Cafe Cabal Mobile Cafe brings the cafe experience to you. We'll roll out to your neighborhood or office, ready to serve our locally crafted espresso bar to our loyal patrons. Inquire at cafecabal.com. Cafe Cabal, coffee for the soul.
Is home to over 40 flavors with more than 200 flavors in their total wheelhouse. Sky's the limit for this sweet and savory Central New York company. Keep it local at your parties, fundraisers, wedding showers, baby showers, and more by calling 315-450-MAPA. That's 315-450-6272 for popcorn bars with custom flavors and colors at your upcoming event. Make sure to visit them on 201 7th North Street in Liverpool, New York. And for more information, go to maandpazsnacks.com. Ma and Pa's Kettle Corn and Popcorn Factory. How corny are you?
Here at Progressive. Progressive Dental, we understand the importance of regular dental visits and preventive care. Cleanings and checkups are essential to good oral health. We have multiple locations in the Southern Tier, so come visit us in Binghamton, Kenwell, Kirkwood, Montrose, and Norwich. For self-pay, non-insured patients, we offer the Smile Plan, which covers all of your cleanings, x-rays, and exams for an affordable yearly price. Call 607-754-2273 or 607-754-CARE to make an appointment today. For more information, visit our website at progressivedentalny.com.
The Millhouse Market, located on 3790 New York 13 in Pulaski, New York, is worth the drive every single time. Head out there today. Great place to get some Christmas and holiday gifts for your loved ones inside of their general store with local products from local companies, from different honeys as well as syrups made locally to soaps to children's toys, jewelry, and so many different things, clothing. At the Millhouse Market inside of their general store, open Tuesday through Saturday from 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. and on Sunday from 7 a.m. to 3 p.m. Also open is their indoor dining and their drive-up carry-out window to get your food and go. Don't have to leave the car. Go to the Millhouse Market app on the Google Play or Apple App Store. Download it for free. You have the entire menu at your fingertips. Homemade breads, desserts, quinoa bowls, rice bowls, brick oven pizzas, salads, and sandwiches named after the families that helped to settle today's Pulaski. Ingrained in our community and ingrained in our taste buds and now at our fingertips, the Millhouse Market with contactless pay on the app makes it easy to search through their menu, get directions from their app from wherever you are to the Millhouse Market, pay contactless right there, tip on the app, grab your food and go, as well as go inside and get some gifts for your family. The Millhouse Market's got it all covered. Make sure you head out to the Millhouse Market today, 3790 New York 13 in Pulaski, New York. Absolutely, positively worth the drive every time. With that being said, here on Wake Up Call with Dan Tortora, where sports meets that thing called life, Mike and I got two more games before we... one another, Chicago at Green Bay in the NFC North.
Yeah, these are two teams going in opposite directions right now. Packers look good. The Bears, well, not so much. Packers, of course, led by Aaron Rodgers, number 10 on my rankings this week. Chicago, well, Andy Dalton had a 4-interception game. Justin Fields still struggling to come back. You know, if Justin Fields is physically able to play, they're going to start Justin Fields, but of those guys are right near the bottom of my quarterback, so I'm not interested in that. Aaron Jones, I am interested in. Number 9 on the running back rankings, like I said before, David Montgomery, number 12, so that's where your money is. And then also Devontae Adams, he's the number 1 guy, and as he goes, so goes Green Bay. Made him that put up the numbers, and he does. He gets the targets. You know, he and Aaron Rodgers have something dynamic worked out. He's number 4 on the rankings this week. Chicago, well, not so much. Darnell Mooney's been turning it on. He's number 25 on the rankings, but that's really all I can play from there. Looking at the tight end situation, not interested either side of the ball, really, so I'm staying away from there. I'm going to go with Green Bay big time at home.
Yeah, Green Bay, I mean, come on. Where, like Mike said, where these two teams are right now, this is, you know, this is a tale of two different places. Chicago, in the last couple of years, they'll have some relevancy, and then they just disappear. You know, that's been their MO, to be okay, but to not really stay relevant. And Allen Robinson, he has his good moments, he has his good numbers, but, you know, this team has not stayed relevant overall. And in reality, no matter what they do in fantasy, David Montgomery, not consistently relevant. You know, Allen Robinson, not consistently relevant. Darnell Mooney stepping up, but not consistently relevant. Their quarterbacks have continuously changed, not consistently relevant. Andy Dalton and Justin Fields are not 100%. We could see Nick Foles again. It's just a hard thing to look at here. David Montgomery, we did say to play him over Eli Mitchell in that specific situation. Montgomery has some value in this game, and so does Darnell Mooney and Cole Kmet. I like them all, but I don't like any of them as ones. And then the Green Bay Packers, Aaron Rodgers and Jordan Love are both hurt in this one as well. And that leaves Ben Kurt in a place out of Virginia where he could play. He's been activated. So if Aaron Rodgers plays, Aaron Rodgers is worth the play. Aaron Jones, no matter what, including in a quarterback situation where nobody's 100%, definitely good for that. A.J. Dillon, good for the flex to help you out in your fantasy playoffs. And Davante Adams, worth the play as well. The tight end situation, Josiah DeGuara is the guy that's currently in the lead right now. I wouldn't play any Green Bay tight ends at this point fantasy-wise. I'm going with the Packers, and there's fantasy value on both sides, but Chicago just doing what they do at the end of a season, which is kind of fade away. The Monday Night Football game, Rams at Cardinals. What do you got, Mike?
Yeah, the Rams have some excellent players, and so do the Cardinals. Cardinals got the Kyler Murray back, and he's number three on the rankings this week. And then, you know, I just have to go a little further down for Matt Stafford. You know, he has in the middle of the year channeled his inner Jameis Winston, throwing pick sixes and throwing picks like they're nothing. So hopefully he's got that out of his system. He's number 11 on the rankings this week. Then going over to running back, looking for Darrell Henderson, should be fully back. Sony Michel took a lion's share of the work last week. That was a nice last-minute plug-and-play for you. My premium customers had the benefit of playing Sony Michel, and some even were able to pick up Sony Michel, who was available unexpectedly in some leagues, and that was the difference between one team making a playoffs in his league. So there you go. Looking at the wide receiver position here, for Cuff's the man. He's been the number one receiver all year, not just for the Rams, but in fantasy football. Cooper Kupp looks like the guy again this week, number one on the rankings. Then I got to go down a little bit further here before I can find some more value on my rankings. Van Jefferson's been turning it on lately. He's number 30. Odell Beckham still trying to get something done there, still trying to get some more timing down. He's number 32 on the rankings here. And then DeAndre Hopkins on the other side of the ball. We talked about him earlier at 24, and then Christian Kirk at 38. Going over to tight end, well, you know, I don't know if I can really count on these guys, but number 14 is Tyler Higbee. And then, you know, Arizona really doesn't have anybody that I can plug in. But, oh, there he is, Zach Ertz. Yeah, they made a trade for that guy, and that guy's been pretty good for them. That guy is the one piece of the puzzle that was missing. So once Kyler Murray can get fully back here, hopefully in this game, Zach, by the way, checking in at number 11 on the ranking this week, but hopefully that offense can get humming here. This is a big test for them. The Rams coming into Arizona. Vegas has Arizona favored in this game by 2.5, and I believe them. I'm going to take Arizona.
The Bam Bam Rams. Here we go. Matt Stafford, worth the play. Darrell Henderson, worth the play. Sony Michel, potential flex for you. Cooper Kupp, I like him as well. Van Jefferson is not a bad flex to put out there. I'm not sold on Odell Beckham Jr. anywhere he goes. Odell, though, I do think in this game, flex him, flex Van Jefferson. Cooper Kupp, start him. Tyler Higbee, lower end, tight end one. For Arizona, Kyler Murray, yes. James Conner, yes. DeAndre Hopkins, yes. Zach Ertz, yes. Outside of that, Christian Kirk and Rondell Moore, they're lower than they're, you know, to me, between the situation that you have, I'd put Christian Kirk and Rondell Moore under Van Jefferson and Odell Beckham in this Monday night game. Value on both sides. Arizona's at home. I'm going to pick Arizona. I think the Rams are going to make this a game, but I agree with Mike, and I'm going to go with the Cardinals at home. I told you last year, watch out for the Cardinals. I said it may not happen just yet. They may get, you know, it may be close. They may be ramping up. I said that they were a dangerous team. They almost made the playoffs last year, and now they're in a situation where they can be in the driver's seat. I like the Arizona Cardinals. I like what they've done. I like how they started the season. I love how they go after Syracuse players like Justin Pugh and Chandler Jones. I'm excited. And James Conner from Pitt. Love that they picked him up. 1 year, $1 million. One of the greatest inexpensive moves of the entire NFL this season. Going with the Cardinals. Mike, as always, I appreciate you. Thank you for everybody that had your questions. If you have more questions, comments, or thoughts, you have all week long to do this with us. Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, we're here for you all the way through for week 14 and beyond. So ask your questions, youtube.com/wakeupcalldt, facebook.com/wakeupcalldt. Find the video, comment, and let us know what your specific question is. I will be sharing these throughout the week on social media, Facebook @wakeupcalldt, as I just mentioned. Twitter at CallDT, and Instagram at WakeUpCall_DT. So you'll have no excuse to get out to us and let us know what you're thinking. Thank you for all your questions and thoughts. Thank you for your positive words. And especially, you know, a big shout out to Lucas. Thank you for telling us that we're killing it. We appreciate that so much. Mike and I really love helping you all. So it means the world to us. Good luck and God bless to everybody in your playoffs, including everybody in the Wake Up Call Fantasy Football Challenge, all of the leagues here in Syracuse, as well as our Marywood League and our Florida League that Mike and I are in. Thank you. Thank you so very much. Mike, Hall of Fame FantasyFootball.com. Winning Fantasy Football Group on Facebook is ours, and the YouTube channel, Winning Fantasy Football. I appreciate you, Mike, and I look forward to talking with you soon.
Sounds good. Thanks, Dan. Talk to you.
All right. That coming from Mike Sofka here where sports meets life on Wake Up Call with Dan Tortora. Big thanks to Mr. Mike Sofka. With that being said, Wake Up Call with Dan Tortora is live every Monday through Friday from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. Eastern Time, where sports meets that thing called life. Find us here on Facebook.com/WakeUpCallDT, YouTube.com/WakeUpCallDT, as well as Facebook.com/LiveNowDT, MixLR.com/WakeUpCallDT, and on WakeUpCallDT.com. Once the shows go live, they hit the archives. We'll be adding stuff this week, as promised, so be patient. They'll be coming to you Stitcher, Spotify, MixLR, TuneIn, iHeartRadio, iTunes, and Apple Podcasts, YouTube, and Podbean. Search Wake Up Call with Dan Tortora on your favorite podcasting platforms, or one word, Wake Up Call DT. And, of course, a big thanks to our Central and Upstate New York partners, Cafe Cubal, Carvel DeWitt's, as well as the Wildcat Sports Pub, Ma and Pa's Kettle Corn and Popcorn Factory. Want to give a special thanks to Progressive Dental, Avicoli's, Chick-fil-A Cicero and Chick-fil-A Clay, Canine Camp Dog Daycare, Millhouse Market, Canine Campground Dog Boarding, Pizza Man, Lemoyne, Honda City of Liverpool, PB&J's Lunchbox, Victory Sports Medicine and Orthopedics, and Mother's Cupboard. And, of course, Wake Up Call with Dan Tortora is the proud multimedia marketing partner of your Lemoyne College Dolphins. Find out more about the Lemoyne Dolphins by going to youtube.com/wakeupcalldt, clicking subscribe, and searching our archive AD and DT episodes, as well as Dolphin Dive episodes. And, of course, you can find this on the Lemoyne tab on wakeupcalldt.com, and you can go to lemoynedolphins.com. Marywood University also. The proud multimedia marketing partner, a Wake Up Call is of Marywood University Athletics. Make sure that you check out our coverage of the Marywood teams right here where sports meets life on Wake Up Call with Dan Tortora. We have Executive Director of Athletics, Pat Murphy, as well as student athletes and coaches of Marywood University, all there on youtube.com/WakeUpCallDT in our library. So subscribe to us on YouTube. Also subscribe to WakeUpCallDT.com and click on the Marywood tab. And, of course, go to MarywoodPacers.com for more information. In the meantime, I thank you so much for tuning in. Awesome. God bless. Do your best. Shout out to Luke Sutherland, Lemoyne. Thank you to you all. And a big shout out to the newest food challenge that's going to be happening very soon, as I challenge Lemoyne men's basketball head coach Nate Champion to an eat-off with the bacon cheeseburger at Mother's Cupboard. Can't wait to see you all over there, and I can't wait to go out to Mother's Cupboard, 3709 James Street in Syracuse, New York. We'll see you there. Have a great day. Have fun. God bless and talk to you soon, and happy fantasy football playoffs. I love you all. Have a good day.